We go. So thank you once again for joining me. I'm super stoked about this. This is our special episode. I don't really have like a fancy name for it other than Battle of the Goats recap, but I know a lot of people were really excited to see you back on a bike. So I kind of wanted to get your firsthand experience about what everything was like at Battle of the Goats. You know, the first round for the East Series, and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, so it was, I guess I haven't even really thought about that, but it was my first, I guess I didn't race any U.S. Hard Endurals in 2024. I lose grasp of time over this last year and just like how it's all gone. But yeah, I guess I didn't really get to race last year, but I felt kind of like I was, maybe.
Because you were there.
Yeah, I went to all the rounds except I had to miss one of them, but it felt really good. Like, it was definitely, it was a lot. It was emotional just to go there. It was emotional to not travel with my normal travel companion, Mike Manuel, because his wife's dealing with similar, not the same, but, you know, dealing with cancer. So my normal travel companion, I'm traveling without him, but my buddy Billy Robertson came in and helped me get down there in time because of my treatments I've been having on Monday and Fridays, but we made it. We made it early, but I got to race finally. Like, I've been racing a little bit local stuff and a little bit of things this winter, but everybody kind of knows what my, you know, main focus is, which is U.S. Hard Enduro or even some of the international stuff, just chasing basically bronze class finishes in Romania. But
yeah,
I finally got to race. But these days I spend less time thinking just about my own racing with the team and the riders and all of the other people that I lose grasp with time and myself and all of that stuff. But I did get to race. It was amazing. So, yeah, I mean, I can give you a recap kind of how, for me, the racing side of things was. It's been, it's really intimidating but I was very nervous. I wasn't feeling comfortable on Saturday morning. We had the new team, the new paddock, all these things going on. But at the end of the day, I was going out there to race the amateur qualifier. But I haven't been on an East Coast pro track. And I'm 40-plus A class, which puts us on the pro lines. And it's a lot to do when you haven't really been on the bike much in 9 months. So it was pretty, I was just unsure about it. You know, it's scary. Yeah. It takes a lot to line up. You probably learned that a little bit that same weekend, but the qualifier went well in terms of, I finished it. I felt comfortable on the bike. I didn't hurt myself. I made a mistake in that I didn't look at the first main uphill in the Pro A prologue for Saturday. So I didn't have a line selected, but I chose the right line, but there was a big queue. There was a big line at the top of it. And I was waiting, got impatient. I'm like, saw people making it on other lines. And I tried far right, tried far left, and ended up coming back to that main, like up the gut middle line with the big V trench at the top that people were basically having to pull each other up out of. Lost a bunch of time there, but whatever, got around the track, made it into Sunday, and that's like ripping the Band-Aid off. It's like, you just got to get back out there and do it and prove to yourself that you still can, even if you haven't done it in a while. So Sunday, I kind of knew what was coming for me, having ridden Battle of the Goats in 2023. I rode that upper chicken fight section. So I knew what was there. I knew what it was like, and I knew it was going to be a parking lot. It was going to come down to who gets in the right places and who has the most friends and who can come up with a plan to make a worker party to basically get two or three bikes up the top faster than the other people. And it was fun. It was really good. It felt good to just be out there doing it. I impressed myself at times with some things that I did. So I feel like I still managed to progress my skills or riding or whatever over the last year, even mm-hmm. if it was just through observation versus actually being out there doing it. But it felt really good. It felt really good. I remember, I think it was on Saturday, just mm-hmm. completing the lap, being done. It was pretty emotional. It kind of reminded me of some of the emotions I've had in the past, some of the big races, but different, where it was just like, I was out there racing. I was out there doing it. Like for the last 9 months, I haven't been able to do that. Mm-hmm. And 4 weeks ago, I wasn't sure that I would be doing it this year when I found out that I still had some small remnant cancer left behind. And there was some question as to what the best treatment for that would be. I thought I might need to have to get another full midline incision, which would have put me out for six weeks. It would have put me on a 6 week, 10 pound lifting restriction, which I already did that twice last year. So that was 3 months of downtime, and there's mm-hmm. hernia risks that are associated with that. So it would have put me out for the first half of the year. It would have put me out for Romaniacs 2025, mm-hmm. which I'm registered for. But we ended up going down a different treatment path, and I'm undoing some targeted radiation throughout this whole process. But I don't know. I just really felt grateful to be even out there because 4 or 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, I thought I was going into a normal season. And then I got the news that it's not going to be necessarily a normal season. And I thought that the season was gone, and now it's back for now. So mm-hmm. felt pretty damn good to just be out there on the East Coast with my friends in the forest. And it was all the same people, dude. I always end up with the same cool people. Marty, who I call Donnie, like Petro was right behind me in Upper Chicken Fight. It was just mm-hmm. yeah, it was good to just be out there like I used to with all the same dudes, all the same mm-hmm. chicks, all the same cool people on these epic tracks. Tyler builds an epic track, and yeah, it gets mm-hmm. bottlenecked on Upper Chicken Fight, but that's Battle of the Goats, man. Like I don't care if it's
you've got to really battle to get through. Super well named for that, because I was doing media at that point, and I was following Connaboy walking up behind him and just watching him try and pick his way through, because there were so many people up there. There's probably I'm not even joking, 20 people just up on this hill. And for anyone that doesn't know what Chicken Fight looks like, or Upper Chicken Fight, upper it's just chicken literally.
Fight. Normal it's Chicken just, Fight was really easy this year. It's the first year that I've ever ridden out the top of it without, lifting or pushing or pulling or whatever. But I feel like that main left line transition into the middle and up and out the top, Lower Chicken Fight's not what it used to be, but. Mm. Upper Chicken Fight's still what it's always been, which is
it's just this giant slab of rock, and it's just got there's a couple sections where it's broken in between it, but it's just this huge slab, and so these guys have to pick their way up through it, and it's slippery because it was raining that morning. And it was just not, there was not very much grip. I almost watched Creed Kiesling fall backwards on it. I was like, oh, please don't. He was right in front of me. So I was like, oh, good God.
And he rides stands like that all the time. But it was interesting. One of the, I think it was Endurotainment or whatever. They put out a video where they were talking about Will Reardon and the guys that ride out in that part of the country. I guess I didn't realize it in the moment when we were up on Chicken Fight on Sunday at Battle of the Goats, or Upper Chicken Fight, but they were talking about how slick it was. I mean, I think it's been slick every time I've been up there, but the word from the pros is that it was as slick as it's ever been, but it was. Yeah. It was. I got lucky. I chose some good lines, and I got in with some good people to basically teamwork up off the top, which was pretty much what I was telling everybody my goal was on Saturday night when we were in the paddock having a few beers, having fun. Is it's just like my goal is to just essentially make it to the top of that blank mountain. Mm-hmm. And I made it to the top of the mountain in about, I don't know, I think I remember looking at my watch and it was maybe 2 hours and 15 minutes into the race, and I had put on 1.1 miles or something like that.
I'm good with that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It was great. I thought it was really cool because I got to see Tobin come flying through, and I was like way up towards the top. So they were pretty much through the bottleneck by the time I was able to see them, but Tobin came through, and it wasn't too long after that that John came through. So it was really cool to see, just to watch them and how smooth they both were going through there. There was a lot of people struggling. There was a lot of roots that were like super exposed, and as people got stuck on them, they got more exposed, they got more slick. But it was really cool to just be like, oh, my friends are doing so good.
Yeah, I think at that point in the race, Tobin was probably disappointed with how he was doing, and John was riding really well, but they ended up finishing actually.
Tobin finished one
position. In the overall, they were, I mean, Tobin and John finished directly behind Tobin in the overall. So that's how good of a ride John had. And yeah, John rode great.
Which is great. Like, okay, so I met John at TKO last year. So he got injured shortly after I met him. So yeah, I didn't get to see him ride. I wasn't going to say it, but.
John Crawl, this one's for you. Yeah. I wish we had the ability to put a video of how John Crawl hurt himself into this.
We'll see if I can find it. I'll have to ask him for it.
I have it on my Facebook.
You have to send it to me then. We'll surprise him.
He was somewhere, I would assume in Ohio, and he had a, I don't know what it's called, he had the big round parachute thing strapped to his back, mm-hmm. and he was hooked by a rope to the back of a four-wheeler that was being piloted by who knows how many beers that guy had, who, not John, but I bet you the guy in the four-wheeler probably had a six-pack, maybe, you know, and yeah.
Yeah, I just knew that he was trying to fly. I saw the video, but I was like, it was such a long time ago, it feels like, but it really wasn't that long ago.
I think he might have been, his feet might have been off the ground.
So technically he flew a little bit.
200th of a second before his face hit the ground, so technically he flew.
Oh my god. Anyway, so the whole point of that story is that what did John's season look like last year versus what he's starting out with now this year?
In terms of what he raced or how he was doing,
like,
or I guess
like how he was doing, like, yeah.
I don't know that exactly in terms of last year, because he wasn't a part of the team. He was my friend at that point, like we talked at the races, but I don't know. I mean, I can tell you that last year at Battle of the Goats 2024, John finished 12th in A class.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't remember at what point in the season he got injured. I just remember noticing last year at some of the rounds, all of a sudden I was just kind of like, what's up with, I talked to Chris Davis and I'd just be like, well, you know, what's up? What's up with John? Where's John? What's going on? You know, because.
Yeah.
I was kind of paying attention to him at the time just because he was a friend, you know, a fun guy to be around and mm-hmm. really helpful and a good rider. And I just noticed him in the forest and in the paddock and all that stuff. But
yeah,
I don't know. I forget at what point he hurt himself last year, but he was out for a while.
It was after TKO.
Okay.
So I met him at TKO. So,
but yes, I don't remember exactly how the rest of the first half of the season went for him last year. I would imagine it was, you know, a bunch of top tens and stuff. I don't know if he was getting top fives, podiums, things like that, but.
Yeah. Versus, did you talk to him after the race and how he was feeling after this one?
Yeah, a little bit. I had to get out of town pretty fast to get back for my treatment that Monday. So I didn't get to really soak in the after race conversations and whatnot with my team as much as I would like to, but. I think that John was very pleased with how he rode. Obviously, as a racer, I'm sure he could tell me a bunch of things that could have been better or things he could have done better, but I think that's a positive, you know, as long as you look at that in a positive way, it's a positive thing to look at your race and evaluate, like, how it can be better. And I appreciate, as, like, a racer or a rider, you know, it's good to recognize like progress, but it's also, I think it's good in racers that I'm supporting to see that they're not satisfied with a fifth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's some satisfaction in the progression, you know, but it's like progression takes time and it's hard to know. But if you look back to a year ago, he took 12th, this year's fifth. Like, I don't think that's luck.
Yeah.
I think that's improvement. I think that's progression. You know, same thing with Tobin. Tobin was super bummed to get 15th place this year. Well, he got 24th in 2024. Most U.S. Hard Enduro rounds, we weren't even collecting points in the pro class because he wasn't breaking into the top 20. So it's like, I'm glad he's disappointed with a 15th. I'm not disappointed with a 15th. Yeah. I don't think he's completely, but he sees that he sees and feels he can do better than that, which is a pot, you know, he should feel that way as a competitor and as a professional racer. Like, yeah, you shouldn't be like, oh, I got 15th. I just did my job to the best of my ability. Like, he might have done it to the best of his ability that day, but good luck making a living taking 15th place. But at the same time, our stated goals for 2025 are to chase points on the East Coast, and every single racer on our team made points. And that's a positive for the first round of the year after. You know, all these guys are, they have full-time jobs. I have a full-time job. Like, they're not in the forest at Brown Mountain, and they're not pre, you know, they don't get the luxury to pre-ride the, not pre-ride the course, but to go to the courses ahead of time and ride the land or just do big days. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
So I don't know. I'm happy with how the weekend went for sure.
That's great.
Because I think
that, how did Tucker do?
Tucker took 15th. I don't think he's happy with that. And I don't want to say he underperformed, because I always say that there's nothing, you know, hard enduro in the forest to race a properly, you know, it's the ultimate truth. Like, if you want to know where you stand, you line up at a national round or an international round, and where you deserve to be that day, you will end up. Is he had? I think he's probably the most unhappy with his result of everybody on the team, but that's not a negative thing. But again, it's 15th place. We at least made some points. He learned some things. We learned some things. I think he can definitely improve a lot on that. I'm sure he would agree, but I think he's, I think the truth of the matter is he would say he was disappointed with his performance, but maybe I don't know. Maybe he should be. I don't know. It's on that day in that forest. And on that day on that forest, like, I bet he tried his hardest. I bet he didn't quit. I bet he made some mistakes. Maybe he didn't have the right tire setting. Who knows? There's a million different things that you could say. But on that day in the forest, he was 15th best in A class. Gets you some points. He learned some things. So is it what he hoped for? No. Is it still a success? In my opinion, yes.
Yeah.
He's, I think, a Miller.
That's great, though.
Like, there's two people on my team whose last name is Miller, and there's a term called Millard, which is, you know, it's crashing your bike, it's breaking your bike, it's not, you know, it's none of that happened. All of our bikes made it to the finish line. Every rider got points. And at the end of the day, when you're racing a series chasing points, like, step one is complete the race and get some points on the board. So I think it was a good start. I think it was a good start. And it was a stressful weekend for these guys. Tobin got to get used to it somewhat last year because of me supporting him. So he's more used to that bigger presence or more people watching or more people paying attention. But for Tucker, that's new to him. And John, that's new to him. So I think based upon, you know, everything that was involved in this last weekend, that was kind of like a team launch, and we were doing a team photo shoot on Friday morning and doing rider interviews, and with all the things that we had going on, I think it all worked out in a positive way for the future.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And I got to race. And I got to race for once. And I did.
Yeah.
And I beat Petro. Make sure you don't cut that out, Petro. I beat you.
I'll make sure that part's on. It was cool to be around you guys and see a different side of hard enduro. I've been around it for a year now, and I've been a spectator. I've done media, but I haven't really been around a team before. And to see you guys all together, to see you guys working on your bikes, how you guys were working on them, everything that you were paying attention to between the qualifier and the race and everything. That was really cool to see. And that was really eye-opening for me just to how much work goes into all of this that not everybody realizes.
Yeah, I think racers realize it, but I don't think that the public does, or the general trail rider or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot that goes into it, but yeah. We do
have things. It was very eye-opening. Exactly. Yeah, it was very eye opening, but
we're all
out
there in the forest, man. It's incredible.
Yeah,
it's worth the hard work.
I was so thankful to you guys for being there and supporting me. Like you guys all said, you know, things to me in the morning before I went and lined up, and I was so nervous. I was so ridiculously nervous, but I felt really good about the bike, thanks to all the work that you guys did to get it ready. And it was really, really great to have that support and just kind of keep me from getting too into my head. And that was really, really cool. I wish I had done better, but you know, it is what it is.
Everybody wishes they did better at every single
race. Yeah. And my thing was
there's one person in each class each day that gets to go home feeling satisfied. That's it. Nobody else is.
Yep. And I felt okay. Like I feel like I rode some sections really well. Like I know that I can do that stuff. Like it was just a matter of, I'm not comfortable on that terrain, or not even the terrain. It's the weather conditions. Like that's something that I need to figure out. But that's part of it, right? It's figuring out what your weaknesses are, whether it's the weather that's caused an issue or it's an obstacle that you've never seen before. There was one like little hill that had like a rock at the top, and it was visually really scary looking because it was a pretty steep little uphill. It wasn't long or anything. But I just saw it and I was just like, I think I had like 45 minutes left in my time. And I was just like, whatever, I'm just going to do it. And normally I would just sit there and like try and figure out what the line is. And like, you know, if it was a trail ride or whatever, but I just hit it and it was so cool because I made it up. And then right after I made it up, I was trying to go and then I slid and I fell, but, but I made it up. So I was really proud of that.
That's the cool thing about racing is I feel like, for people like me and you, I don't want to speak to the pros or whatever, you know, but it's like, when I go look at these obstacles and I'm walking around and there's no one in the forest, it's just like, man, I got to hit that. I don't really want to hit that.
Yeah.
But then you get there in the race and even if there's just like one person standing in the forest going like, woohoo, you know, and it's like, guess I got to hit it. And then you do and you make it. And it's like, it's a really good way. I feel like the racing environment, it almost forces you into hitting things that are a notch above what you'd be willing to do in just like a training ride.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like I mean, I didn't have a whole lot of times where there was people around except in the beginning. But it's still like just thinking about trying to make that checkpoint. I just wanted to make that checkpoint so bad. And so I was pushing myself and I definitely didn't sit and think about things like I normally would. And like some of those route sections that I got through and stuff, I mean, I was pretty proud of it. I don't ride that stuff anymore. Like I used to, but I rode it when it was dry. I never rode it when it was like wet like that.
Yeah.
So like I wanted to make a checkpoint. That was my biggest goal. I didn't make it. I was right at the bottom of the hill from the checkpoint when I got stopped for my time. But I still had fun. I felt like I did ride well in a lot of the areas and in areas that normally I'm kind of like scared of. So I felt like it was a really good experience, and I'm super excited for the next one. Like, I really can't wait.
It's probably good that, honestly, I don't know. I mean, it's always, I go back and forth on it. It's like, it's good to have goals, or it's good to make a goal for a race sort of thing, but it's always, it's tricky at the same time too, because you never know if it's, if you're, until you're out there and you know the conditions and you see the course, it's too hard to know what is a reasonable goal to even have.
Yeah.
So like, that's the most logical goal to come up with is like first check, because it's the first way to get scored to say, hey, look, I was there. Look, I'm on the results sheet. So like,
yeah. Totally. Yeah.
What it ran, and that, that changes things. And I don't know, you should be proud of yourself for just going out there and even trying, because
yeah.
A lot of people are scared, and it takes some courage to jump into the deep end of the pool like you did, but I'm glad you did. I think
Thank you.
Of your listeners, it's cool. I think a lot of your listeners are glad you did, and you, because it helps you to at least start to see, you got to see and feel the reality of being in the forest on your bike, racing the US Hard Enduro. And even if you don't achieve your goal, I feel like you probably at least, you may not have achieved your stated goal, but I would think that you could almost take that goal and rework it into, I mean, the real goal, the goal number one should be to have the courage to even sign up and do it. Like, a lot of people stop before that point. Mm-hmm. And then you could say your bike is broken in the morning, say you were sick. You could come up with a million reasons to say, I'm not going to race today. It rained, it's terrible with that, but you did it.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're talking to Angel from Brap Life, the hard enduro racer. Angel from Brap Life, the hard enduro fan. There's a big difference.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I do appreciate that, especially coming from somebody who's so well established in the community. And that's the thing about all of you guys this weekend, or last weekend, was it was just really cool to have that support from all of you. You know, Tucker and Tobin both came over, and they were talking to me and, you know, giving me advice and stuff. And Ben was too. And it was really awesome. Billy's always fantastic with it. And John working on my bike, like when I got there,
times,
just like,
how many times did he take your tire off?
Oh my God. I don't know.
Guess.
I owe what
like
I was
five.
Capable.
It felt like five.
Yeah. Probably at least five.
And but, I got in there with a bread knife. I was cutting mousses. Like, John had that tight. That John must have. Man.
Yeah, I'm so appreciative of him for doing that. Because, like, I mean, there was nothing to say that he had to do that. You know, he saw my tire, and he I think it was when he was unloading my bike. He was helping me. I told him to help me, and then he did it. but. Yeah, it was really cool to like I said, get that support. And it wasn't just John, it was all of you guys, but John did a lot of the labor on the bike.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I really think that made a big difference. And I know it's made a big difference being back here and riding here with having a softer setup on the tire. So that's been really great. So thank you, John.
Yes, also thank you. I'm glad I didn't have to pull that tire on and off five times.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I don't think I would have I never would have asked anybody to do that. So it was really
cool.
What did
you do?
He was
explain
just like,
explain your setup. I think people like to hear about rear tire setup. So what did you show up with, and what was done to make it better for maybe that would be interesting to some of the people listening.
Yeah, I showed up with a mousse in my rear tire that was apparently a Michelin. Yeah, that was too stiff.
140. It was a 140 Michelin drilled the sideways way in
correct.
A Plus 140 80 18.
That was a Yeah. Yep. That was a spec B that I had on it originally. And then
it seemed to be too firm of a setting, I believe, from we were all pushing and like, I don't know.
I was like, it's too hard and you need a different tire. Like you need a new tire and this and that. And he was just like,
what do we do next? I was like, drill it? Did we drill it more?
Yeah. So John drilled it from the top.
Okay.
So like and then so maybe it was only like three times that he took it off. It felt like 100, but
so you had the holes this way, then we put the holes in this way. It was still too firm, so then we cut the top off, like
correct.
The Flins do.
Yeah. So then he still said it was too hard, but it was as good as we were going to be able to get it at that point in time, because that was like, I think he decided to do that shaving what, an hour before I was supposed to line up.
I was getting all nervous.
I was like, oh my god,
I got in on the party because I'm like, oh man, we gotta go. I think it was less. I think it was 30 minutes 25 minutes 20 minutes. I mean, it was, I remember John telling me how much time he had to do it, and I was just like, yeah, we can do it, but I sure hope nothing goes wrong, because if something goes wrong, we'd have just had to put a wheel off of another bike on it or something. But.
Yeah, well, I mean, it went great. The tire did what it needed to do. I just needed to figure out how to work it. The biggest thing for me was the clay caking up on the tires. I did not know previous to that race that going faster would make the like mud fly off. So
yeah, I used to have that problem a bunch too back in the day when I was learning this whole sport. It was just like, there's a speed that you have to get to that you go fast enough that the tires clean themselves off, and it's really hard to,
how do you get to that point when you don't have any traction though? Because it's like, I was running slicks essentially there was so much clay.
It just takes time. Takes time for your speed to slowly progress to the point that you can do that, and it takes time. I don't know. I don't think there's a way to practice that, and I don't think it's smart to just, you can't, I don't have the ability to turn my brain off like that. To me, it's like being fast in the sand or fast on ice bikes, where you just have to, the faster you go, the easier it gets. But if you're person with a lot of internal dialogue, you think about the consequence, like, you know, this, if it's scary going 20, how am I supposed to go 30 40 50?
Yeah,
but if you just send it, apparently it works. I don't know, but I don't have I was talking to God, who was I just talking to? Joe Namath. I was just talking to Joe about that, and it's the same thing. We were talking about how, like, riders who think a lot aren't good at sand, they're not good at mud like that, because it's like, you have to be able, if the people who have a lot of continuous thought going on, if you can't turn your brain off, there's certain situations that I think you will underperform on a dirt bike. And I think that mud and sand and ice riding are those types of flat track, like, you have to be able to just send it, not so I don't know how to
that's
get to that
essentially
point. Ryan
yeah,
Moss.
That's essentially what I ended up doing. I just ended up, like, I was going down a hill and I was like, whatever, I'm just going to do this. The worst that's going to happen is that, like, I'm going to slide off. But I caught myself because I try to never say that. And then I was like, okay, so then what's the best that's going to happen? I was like, the best thing that's going to happen then is that I'm going to make it down this hill. I'm going to make it up the next one, because I know that there's like 100 times that we're going up and down. And I was like, I'm going to make it up the next one. By the time I get to the next one, maybe enough mud will have come off that I will get some traction and actually be able to make it up the hill. Yeah. And that is exactly what happened. And I was like super excited. And then as I kept like going, I was like, okay, now I can go a little bit faster because now I have a little bit of grip. And then all of a sudden it was like normal. So, and then I started to feel good. And then I started to have like this whole probably half mile section where I just felt like I was flying, and it was really awesome, and I felt amazing. And then I came up into like this section, and you go up and then there's like roots, and it's like a whole like single track of roots, and I hit like the third root and then I got stuck and I was like, damn it. Because yeah, I've been going roots. Pretty good for a little bit there.
The roots are tough. Uphills when you when there's a bunch of roots at the top, it's tough because you gotta you gotta have enough speed that you can coast over the roots essentially.
Or
like swap side to side, which I'm not any good at, but
yeah, but it was a lot of learning, a lot of really great experience in so many ways. Like I said, I got to see everything from a different side, not just the spectator side, not just the media side. So it was really cool. It gave me an even deeper appreciation for what you guys all do at the higher levels, and everybody, you know, the other two amateur girls kicked ass. Like, they did great. And so it was really cool to just see it and be in it. And just, I was a little humbled, but I felt so good. And I still, like, I'm so happy that I did it. And like I said, I can't wait for the next one. It's going to be great.
So now that you've done it, and obviously you're doing this podcast, and you probably have people listening that have thought about it or are thinking about doing it or whatever. Why don't you, I think it'd be interesting to hear what you thought it would be like versus how it ended up being, because it's, I think it's always interesting when you do something for the first time, how it, you build it up in your brain, like, here's what I think, and you try and prepare for it. I mean, that's normal. But then you get there and you do it and you get to see what it actually is. Like, was it what you thought? Was it not what you thought? What was how you thought it would be and what was different? Like, I think that's interesting for people that are thinking about trying it to hear from people who are recently off of their first attempt. Like, because I'm sure you've been thinking about this moment for, you tell me how long, I don't know. So
it's probably been like,
compared to what you thought it would be. Was it what you thought it would be?
It's probably been like 7 or 8 months that I've been really seriously thinking about it. And then I knew the reason I picked Battle of the Goats was because I've ridden there, and I've ridden there a decent amount, and I've seen the scary stuff. And I knew that, like, even though I knew I probably wasn't going to get to that stuff, like Wenzel's water slide, I knew that once I got to it, like, visually, it's not going to be as intimidating because I've seen it. I've seen it 50 times. You know, so that part of things wasn't going to stop me. I've seen some of the gnarly things that could have potentially been in the race. There was things that I hadn't seen, obviously. I haven't seen all of Brushy, but it was the place that I felt the most comfortable because I sort of knew it a little bit. And so, getting out there, doing the track walk, I was like, okay, I've never seen this before. All right, this is new. But, you know, I kind of, in my head, like I said, my only expectation for myself was to make the first check. That was my goal. But getting there with so much clay and mud and barely being able to walk in that to the track walk, was, scary, I guess. I was a little nervous that I wasn't even going to be able to make it up the first hill in general. Well, because originally we were supposed to do the same hill that you guys did. So this giant rocky hill, with like all of these roots and stuff. Yeah, they took that out of our race because they figured that with all of the fresh rain, you that was going to be too much.
Yeah, the hill that you went up is the hill we dropped down.
You guys dropped down. Correct. Yeah. And then you guys went up the left-hand side around that. So we had the option to go up straight through the middle, or I ended up taking the bypass off to the left, which is what you guys went up.
So the bypass of the big greasy hill, they had a bypass on the left of that?
On the left, yeah. Which is I think you guys ended up, when you guys came down, you went back up right away on that same path.
Okay. I remember dropping the hill, but I don't remember what the trail was. I remember coming to the bottom and having to make
and
a
then
right.
It was like a right. Oh, yep. That same trail.
Like, section.
Yeah. So, Yeah, walking that first section, that first hill, I was just like laughing. And I was like, oh, I'm going to spend like my full 3 hours here. Because I knew that like I could probably do, in an ideal situation, I could take this line or this line and I could do this and I could do that. But knowing that in racing, it is never ideal. Exactly. Because there's 50 other people.
I could have ridden up the main line in 5 minutes. Instead, I spent 45 minutes there because people in the way.
Exactly. So, and that's something that I've really, like, I mean, I've been talking to people about this for a year now. And that's something that people always say. It's like, you can never predict what other people are going to do. So, like, you can't plan for it. You have to deal with it in the moment. And
you make a plan, but
I didn't really run into a whole lot of that because I was like the last person. But when I was planning, like during the track walk, I was like, okay, like this is ideal and this is ideal. So this is plan A, but in case there's a bunch of people there, here's plan B. And I had like four different lines picked out, like four different things that I could do. And then I was like, none of these are probably going to work. So I'll probably have to do something different. But, you know, that was kind of how I was trying to approach it for those couple sections that I thought that were going to be pretty bad for my group. But oddly, I wasn't super nervous when I went to line up finally. And I think a lot of that had to do with the women who I was lining up with. They were super supportive and just the camaraderie, just sitting there talking with them. They've done this before. Sasha had never ridden brushy, but she's ridden hard enduro races. So that was really cool. And I think they really helped just calm me down and keep me out of my head. And like I said, you guys talking to me. And so that was, I guess during the track walk, I kind of just threw everything out the window and was like, I could barely walk this. So hopefully it tacks up before tomorrow. And then it ended up raining for like 5 hours through the night. And when it started raining, I was in my truck and it started hitting the top of the truck and I just started laughing. And I was like, all right, this is going to be great. This is going to be a good time. So I try to manage my expectations pretty well with things in general. And with this, I knew I was going into it with a skill set that probably wasn't quite ready for a hard enduro, but I also, like, I have a lot of drive and I have a lot of push, and I knew that this is what I wanted to do. And like you said, like, there's a lot of people who won't do it. They'll talk themselves out of it for so long. And I kind of just went the opposite direction. And I was like, everyone kept telling me you're not ready. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm just going to do it. So, and I mean, I wasn't fully ready, but I wasn't as unprepared as I thought I was. I feel like mentally, I feel like my mindset was pretty good, and my mindset was what kept me going. And I kept pushing all the way until they told me my time was up. So,
you always say you don't know what you don't know, but now you know more.
Yeah, exactly.
Now
so
you know
I learned a lot.
You felt those feelings in the forest and you've seen the challenges from the bike, and it's never the same. Walking around on these features is always, it's way more intimidating on foot than it ever feels to me when I'm there on my bike. I don't know why.
Yes. Yeah. That was actually what I was going to say next, is that it wasn't as scary going through. I mean, obviously, like, getting up the hill and everything, like, that sucked. And getting my tire caked with mud was scary, because then I'm like, you know, trying to go down this hill and my rear tire is so caked with mud that I have no traction and I'm just fishtailing the whole way down. You know, I could potentially go over the side. That's not fun. I did hit a tree at one point and the tree kind of corrected me. But it wasn't as scary seeing those obstacles, like you said, as it was on foot. And that was really surprising to me, because usually I have a lot of visual intimidation. I see things, and because I don't have a lot of seat time, I get nervous about things and I second guess. And there's there was a point in one of the videos that I posted where, like, you see me stop because it's like side hill and it's like off camber, and I stop and I just kind of like shake my leg for a second because I was nervous, because at the bottom of that hill there was a log, and I was like, oh my god, I'm coming into this off camber downhill, like, yeah, this is ridiculous. So I got super nervous, but I literally just stopped for like maybe 10 seconds and then I kept going because I was like, I've got to push. This was, I mean, this was pretty early on. So I was like, I need to make this checkpoint. So I was pushing myself, and it was a lot less scary, like you said, during the race than it was just looking at that stuff. So I think it was.
I was worried I was going to hurt myself just doing track walk.
Yeah,
it was slick. Track walk Friday,
and yeah,
Saturday walking around watching you know the amateur morning qualifier. Mm-hmm. Like it felt way slicker even walking than it ended up being on the bike. So I get what you mean.
Yeah. But I think for anybody who's thinking about doing it, I really do think that just doing it is the best thing. I think that the satisfaction I got, like you said, just lining up, knowing that I was doing this, knowing that even though I was nervous, I was pretty sure I was going to eat shit on those first two logs right at the beginning. That was like my thing. I kept telling John, I was like, I'm just going to wipe out right there. Just watch. And then I didn't end up wiping out, but I did get stuck. And then Kate came back, and
the feeling of being lined up with all those people at these races when there's 150 bikes, mm-hmm, all running, the smells, the sounds, all your friends, people, you know, I mean,
yeah,
if you don't feel alive when you're sitting there, I mean, you know, think about that. Think about when you're sitting there looking at that flag, just like waiting for it to move. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't feel alive doing that, man.
Yeah.
It's like scary but peaceful, and it's the clearest that my mind ever is just like staring at the tip of that green flag, just waiting for it to move. And you know, the second that it does, everything's gonna change and you don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just think that's a feeling that most people that don't do something like this will never they'll never appreciate, they'll never feel it, they'll never get to experience that type of feeling in their life of like,
mm-hmm,
lining up for a hard enduro and oh my god, 10 seconds and there's Tyler with his son, and like you're staring at this flag just waving, and like moving it, and you're like, oh my god, and eventually it waves, and like,
yeah,
man, it's crazy fast.
it definitely did, but I loved it. I loved every second of it. I mean, I was struggling for a lot of it, but I still was just like, my goal for how long has been to do hard enduro racing, and now I'm starting to do it. Like, that was my dream come true. So for me, it was the best thing ever. And being at hard enduros in general, whether it's to do media or spectate, has always been like, that's family. That's home for me, you know, is being with all of those people. And that weekend it was the same, but it was like amplified, because then it was like, you know, that camaraderie that we've talked about before of being able to talk about hitting a certain feature. I mean, I didn't hit everything that you guys did, but you know, knowing that I was out there
on the track, at the end of the day on Saturday night, you got to stand there and talk about sections of the track that everybody rode. You could say, oh, remember that one spot with the, I don't know, the log and the roots. Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Cool. It's cool to be out there.
So it's just that camaraderie. We all went through the same terrain, and even though we didn't do it at the same time, the same speed, it does build a different camaraderie. And I think my friend Cody had said something about that before, about like when you're out with people and you're doing hard things like that, it just like those people become your friends in a different way. Like it's, you know, those are your friends for life.
Just by being in those moments in time. Like,
yeah.
You already know that you have so much in common with them just by their presence in the same place that you're present, I think. And that's why it's so easy to create such strong bonds with these people, with these friends.
I mean, and we all struggle, right? So none of like, it's hard enduro. It's not easy enduro. It's hard enduro. And so we all had sections that we got to where we struggled or that were not easy for us. And, you know, I think that just the knowledge of that, that we all had to overcome something at our own level. I think that's what helps build the camaraderie, because even so, I came out of the forest and I was feeling a little bit defeated that I didn't quite make my checkpoint. I was right at the bottom of the hill. I was so close. And, you know, I came out and I saw a couple people I knew. So I stopped real quick because they had been looking for me. And then Will Reardon was over there and he saw me and came over and he asked me how the race was. And I was like, oh, it was all right. Like, I had a lot of fun, but I only made half a lap. And he was just like, no, that's great. He's like, it was really gnarly. He goes, you know, he lives out there. He rides that stuff. And he's like, I don't even want to be racing in this right now. He goes, but for your first one, that was really great. He goes, you should be proud of yourself. And I was like,
yeah, the qualifier lap was harder than I expected. You should be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Half lap out there was no joke. Like, yeah, it was a tough lap. It was, I forget. Yeah. I think I was out there for an hour and 45 minutes or something like that, which I don't know. I was kind of expecting like 50, but
yeah. Yeah, but for me, I was out there the full 3 hours and some change because they couldn't find me.
Well, you got your money for it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But yeah, I would definitely do it again. I mean, if I could do it again tomorrow, I would. If I could be at Kairos this weekend, I totally would. But, you know, money's a thing.
I mean, but, you're West Coast life. I mean,
yeah, for now.
Made it to the level of the goats is pretty impressive, because do you think anybody drove from further away than you? Do you know that?
No, because I came from California. I had to go from Arizona to California.
Sometimes they do that at races where they're like, you know, you might win, you might have won the, you know, you might have won the who traveled the furthest award.
The furthest award. Yeah. I know they did that at Roar last year. But yeah, I definitely, it was a lot to drive out there. I definitely don't want to do it again. I'm trying to figure out how I can get my bike out there without me having to do that drive for TKO. Because that was rough.
Need two bikes.
But, yeah. Yeah. Again, going back to the money thing. But it was just, I wouldn't trade it. It was hard. It was a really long drive. I was so exhausted, but I got to see a lot of my favorite people. I got to like build an extra camaraderie with them. I got to, you know, watch my friends do really cool things and make it through some really cool stuff, from doing that ridiculous splat that was in the enduro cross section that was like 6 feet and just like, that's taller than me, and I'm watching these guys just do it effortlessly. And then, you know, chicken fight, and it was so cool. It was an amazing weekend. So I had a blast. And again, thank you so much for all the support and for, you know, welcoming me into the paddock, because that was absolutely amazing. Just that experience in and of itself.
Yeah, I'm glad we could help you race your first hard enduro race, because yeah, I think I said it in the last podcast, you've been just kind of talking about doing it, and I'm just kind of like, well, why don't we just do it
when you did it? Yeah.
you did. Yep. And I respect that. That's epic. A lot of people don't make that step.
Yeah,
and I think by making step, you'll see continued progress because of that, so it's cool.
Yeah I try and improve every time I'm on the bike, but definitely now, especially I have more goals to push towards, you know, more things to work on, more things to improve. I've already kind of started changing like what I'm doing on the bike to try and, you know, basically do what I can to fix my weaknesses, because I, one of my biggest weaknesses was the clay, and I can't replicate that here in Arizona, but you know, I can focus on my balance and I can focus on things like that. So doing the best that I can. And like you said, sand and mud are sort of similar. I hate sand, but I think that if I get better at sand, it would help me a little bit.
And then you need to shut your brain off to ride both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if I can get used to sand, then it'll help me in mud. It's not exactly the same, but it's similar-ish. So, well, thank you so much for sitting down with me and doing this recap. I know we said it was going to be really short, but...
Yeah, right. But thanks for having me.
Thank you. And I look forward to seeing you hopefully at Roar, and then you know, just seeing how you and the team go through the rest of the season. It's awesome. I'm super excited to see how everybody does.
I can't wait to see where it goes. Part of me I wish I could look into the future and see like how's this all gonna play out or whatnot, but
yeah, but you have to look at it too. Is last year it was just you and Tobin, and this year it's you, Tobin, John, Tucker, Billy when he shows up.
He's coming to Kairos.
Yeah.
But then it even goes beyond that. Then you come. I mean, that's our East Coast U.S. Hard Enduro Race team. It's me, Tobin, Tucker, John, guest rider Billy. But then there's another 4 or 5, you know, back home here, you know, we got D16 off-road hair scramble race, and that just started last weekend. So
yeah,
we have Corey Bradshaw. He's my age. You know, I've raced with him for a long time. He was with on probably the second ever off-road ride I did. I'm helping him out. I'm helping his son, CJ. So that's two. Mm-hmm. Then you have Lexi Burbach, Matt Moss's daughter, and then Garrett Moss, Matt Moss's son, we're supporting as well on the Wisconsin District 16 off-road hair scramble series. So yeah, it's
wow,
a lot of people.
It's grown a lot.
It seems to be continuing to grow. I had another conversation today with a person that lives west coast that we'll see. We'll just leave that as a teaser. We'll say west coast guy.
Lives in Colorado. I feel like I'm going to be doing another interview soon.
I don't know. Not Cody Webb, I'll tell you that much.
I've already interviewed him, so.
He's a guy that has finished silver class Romaniacs. We'll just leave it at that. From the U.S.
Okay.
It's not Riley Bender.
All right. That's Riley. Oh, that's off topic.
That's anyway. Riley what?
Well, I was just going to say, has Riley been to Romaniacs?
No.
I didn't think so.
No. Very few of the United States pros have been.
Yeah. Which is crazy to me.
We will see if that number increases by one this year.
That'd be so awesome. I'm so stoked for that. If that happens, that's Yeah. It's well deserved. So
well, we will see.
That's exciting.
Stay tuned.
To be continued. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you again. If anybody thinks I'm out of crazy plans, I'm not.
No, I don't think anybody thinks that. Everyone's just waiting for the next crazy thing.
Yeah, well, stay tuned.
And on that note, we're going to close it. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Ciao.
All right.